My wife does not like it when the boys leave their toys all around. And when they were little, they would leave their toys all around. Okay? Now, they don't have, as it were, toys now. Although, they do leave stuff all around. Believe me. Okay? Just look at their room. Woo. But when they were small, they would leave their toys, and she would come in, and she would be furious about it. Okay? As a mom would, she would wonder, are these children ever going to turn out for God? Is there any hope here? You know, they're just not getting it. And so she would tell them to put their toys away. She'd say, listen, you got your Legos all over the place. You need to pick these up and you need to put these away. And I remember one day her having said that to the boys in the background, you know, a few minutes later, I heard Caleb shouting, oh my goodness, it hurts so bad. It hurts so bad. He was hollering that loud. And Melissa said, did you step on a Lego? And he said, yes. She said, good. And that was the end of that. Sometimes the problems that we have, it's like a minefield. And all you have to do is just walk out in life and you're stepping on things that are hurtful. You're going through the minefield. We have problems and we just live life and these things come at us. It's like what we've studied before. Jesus talks about mountains. And we have mountains in life. And we come to these mountains and it makes us feel like we can't get past it. The hurts are there, or the struggle is there, or the mountain is there, and it seems impassable. And because of that, we are hindered by it. We allow it to hinder us. We say, this is a mountain in my life, it's impassable, and so I can't serve. This is a mountain in my life, it's impassable, so I can't be involved. Or maybe it's something we know we have to get past, but instead of going to God who moves mountains, we say something like this, I'm going to figure this out. And so we go to the drawing book and we start trying to outline ways we're going to deal with the problems that we have, the mountains we have in life, clean up the messes we have in life. So maybe along the way we can get past some things and move forward. But as we do that, here's what we need to understand. We are magnifying the problem and we are minimizing God. We are making the problem big. In fact, we're making the problem so big that it's something God can't handle. It's something we need to try to figure out. Right. I need to fix this. My marriage has some problems and, you know, there's some things that need to change. There's some issues there. And this is a mountain. And to get past this mountain, I'm going to have to fix some things. And so we go to work. But what we've done when we do that, if we have magnified the problem and we've minimized God. The same happens with our children. We see how our children behave, or we see the direction. If our children are older, we see the direction that they're choosing in life, and it disturbs us, and it concerns us, and we want to help to steer them back to the right path. And so what do? We go to the drawing board, and we say, I'm going to try to figure this out. Is there something I can do to, you know, help my children get navigated back to God? And even in that sense, as parents, in the deep love that we have for our children, we magnify the problem and we minimize God as something we have to figure out. It's not something that we have full confidence that God can do. Whether it's our marriage or our children, sometimes it's internal issues that we have, like anxiety or anger or habit problems that we have. Instead of seeing it as something, a mountain in our life that God can move, we see it as something that we need to address. It's something that we need to fix. And by doing that, what we're saying is, I'm not really sure that I can trust that God is going to fix this. I'm not really sure that I can trust that God will fix this. And so I need to address this. I need to go to the drawing board. I need to try to figure this out. That's exactly what Israel did. Leading up to God bringing them out of the bondage in Egypt, and now they're just at the precipice of moving into the promised land, God, through Moses, sends these spies to spy out the land, and the idea was, is What is the land that God has given to us? Bring us a report so that when we get ready to go into the land, we'll know what to look forward to. That was what it was designed to do. Keep your ribbon or a piece of paper or something here in Joshua and go to Numbers with me. Numbers chapter 13. We won't spend a lot of time in Numbers 13, but let me show you exactly what happens here in Numbers 13. We'll start reading in verse number 1. Numbers 13, verse 1. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. That's definitive, isn't it? God says to Moses, select men of every tribe, so there'll be 12 men, and I want you to send them into the land. Oh, and by the way, I've given you this land. I give you this land. That's a promise from God.
Amen.
Before they even went to espy out the land, they already know God gave us this land.
Right.
It's our possession under the authority and the hand of God.
Yep.
So, verse number 2 explains that he did this. Now look at verse 17. Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Now look at verse 26. Skip all the way to verse 26. Then they went and came to Moses, so they did the spy of the land, espied the land. They came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. So what they did is they showed how the land is prosperous. The land is plenty. The land is flowing, like it says in the scripture, with milk and honey. And this is a great land. And wow, what an amazing place. Now look at verse 28. Nevertheless, that's an unfortunate word, isn't it?
Right.
Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. So they said, oh, it's an amazing place. And it is flowing with grapes and milk and honey, and it's an incredible place. But, I mean, this is unfortunate because there are strong people who are there. And this is a real problem for us because of this people. The implication is this is such a big problem, we can't get past it. This is such a big mountain, we can't get past this. And the problem also is they're not even trying to put together a strategy to overcome. They just decided, we can't do this.
Right.
We can't figure this out. We may as well not even give effort to this. We just need to put the whole campaign on pause. Look at verse number 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And really, that's the key phrase, isn't it?
Right.
That's their conclusion about why they can't take this land, why they can't move into this promise, why they can't conquer and have those blessings. It's because these people are rather stronger than we, is what it says. Now, think about this for a minute. And you have problems. Let me ask you a question. Is there any problem that you face? In fact, let me make it by way of a statement. There is no problem that you'll face in life that you and yourself are strong enough to overcome. You are not strong enough. And so if you go to problems and you carry your own will and your own heart and your own desires and your own motives and your own strength to these problems, what you will conclude is exactly what they concluded. This is stronger than me. And that's what they were doing. They saw the giants. They saw the wall. They saw the greatness and the strength there. They saw their weakness. And they said, we are not strong enough. They are stronger than we. Well, look what happened next. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched to the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And they saw giants, verse 33. It says in the last part of verse 33, in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. So they saw themselves as too weak. We're not strong enough. They, in obedience, they espied out the land, but now we have these 10 who come back and they bring this evil report and they discourage the children of Israel, saying, we can't go into this land because we're not strong enough. But then we hear about a man named Caleb. Caleb and Joshua, but Caleb in specific. Look at verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are able to overcome it. Do you know why Caleb said that? Here's what Caleb understood. That, yes, in our own strength we can't do it, but we have God. And therefore, our own strength is irrelevant. Does God want us to go there? Then here's what we need to do. We need to go possess the land. Because we have God. And anything plus God equals victory. That means you and I, we have God. We're following God. We're in obedience to God. We're doing what He wants us to do. You can expect victory. Caleb understood that. And so that's what his... That was what his conclusion was. Now, look at this with me. Skip over to chapter number 14. Look at verse number 23. So the doubt of Israel, the lack of belief and faith of Israel, and their decision to follow the 10 who said, they're too strong, we can't take the land. So here's what happened, verse 23 of chapter 14. Surely they shall not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers. So now we have a generation of Israel, because they wouldn't believe God. They saw, watch, they saw their problem as too big. We can't get past this. Because of that lack of faith, now they're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years and they won't go into the promised land. That's what it says. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. None of them. However, look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb... What about him? Because he hath another spirit with him. Don't you love that phrase? I actually want to read that again. But my servant Caleb, because he hath another spirit within him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall, say those last two words, possess it. So that's a promise from God straight to Caleb that God says, yes, the children of Israel, they won't enter, this generation won't enter into the land. The next 40 years, they're going to wander. But at the end of this, when that generation has died away, there'll be two that are still there, Joshua and Caleb. And you know what? Caleb, you're going to go into the land. And when you get into that land, I have a promise for you. You're going to possess it. You're going to be blessed. Why? Because you believed me. You believe that there's no problem, there's no mountain, there's nothing that you can't get past if you're doing what God wants you to do. That's what he believed. So the group, go back to our text there in Joshua chapter 14. So we have a group in verse number 8 who says, nevertheless, or actually Caleb here is speaking, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. So there was a group who said, they're giants, we're grasshoppers. They magnified the problem, and in doing so, they minimized God. Right. We can't get past this. Amen. But do you know what Caleb said? Caleb said, let's go possess the land. And now, 45 years later, listen to what Caleb said now that it's time for him to receive the promise, the blessing. Because God said, you're going to possess the land. Now Caleb comes to Joshua and says, I remember that promise from God. I'm ready to stake my claim. I'm ready to take the land. In fact, I like how he said it. He said, I want that mountain. I want that mountain. Now hang on a second, Caleb. That mountain has inhabitants. There are people in the land that are in that mountain that you're setting claim to. Here's what Caleb says. I'm not afraid. I have all the strength that I need. Do you know why? Because it's not my strength at all that's going to give me that mountain. That's right. It's that I know that God has given it to me. And I'm going to move forward in obedience to Him. And I'm going to claim that mountain because God gave it to me. That's what he said. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore, give me this mountain, wherefore the Lord spake in that day, and we know what he said, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced, if so be the Lord will be with me. And you know what Caleb knew? He knew that the Lord would be with him. He knew that God would take him to this place. He knew that God would give him possession of this land and of this mountain. Yeah. He actually said in the last part of verse 12, then I shall be able to drive them out. Look at that last phrase, as the Lord said. You know, I feel like that's where we need to be, right there. So we're gonna move forward with this particular decision. And I actually, there might be nervousness there or reservation, but you know, we don't have to magnify those nervous feelings. We don't have to magnify the anxieties that we might have. Why? Because I know that we have the Lord with us. And as we move in obedience to what I know God is wanting us to do, here's what we can know, that we're doing as the Lord said. We're doing as what He said. And whenever you have that confidence, listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. That's what Caleb understood. That's why Caleb could say, I want that mountain, and it doesn't matter the opposition that's there, the military or the might or my age or any opposition that might, hindrance that might be in the way of me getting where God is leading. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Am I going where God wants me to go? Am I moving with God? Then I don't have to worry. I know that God's going to get us there. I know He's going to give us this land. It says in that phrase, verse 12, the last phrase, I just love that, as the Lord said. Sure. Honestly, if you can say that at the end of any decision that you made, then you don't have to worry. Right. Hey, we're going to do this, 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 and then this. Somebody might say, they might bite their lip and say, oh man, why are you doing that? And then you say these amazing words, as the Lord said. Amen. Then you don't have to worry. Just move forward. There was a day when I met this young lady, and I was very interested, and it brought this interest came to a point where I decided that I wanted to get her a bear and a flower. Aww. Don't get nervous, she's here tonight. Okay. And so, but I was nervous about that, because we weren't really at the bear and flower point yet. You know, so I was kind of taking a leap of faith there, you know. Although she knew I liked her because I opened, how far away the story do I want to go? I offered her oh no, I have to tell you now. So we're sitting in choir, and she sat next to me because she sang tenor and so did I. So we're sitting by each other, and I said, you smell nice. She knew. She's like, in fact, she said this, oh man. Internally, she said that, and I didn't hear her say that. So we're at that point where I'm going to get her a bear and a flower, and, you know, it was sort of awkward. So we made that transition, and she knew how I felt. There was no question. But the issue was is she wasn't ready, and really I wasn't either, but neither one of us were ready, you know. Me kind of mentally and just mature-wise, her... we just weren't ready. And so there was that time after that where there needed to be a separation. And I was really bummed. You know, I just would kick the ground. That's how I walked around, you know, how you just, man. And I wondered, am I ever going to get married? You know, is it? I'm like 20. So if... And this, you know, and these were the feelings, and I wondered, is this, I didn't know. And for me, in that time in my life, although when I look back on it, and perhaps you're hearing this story and you're thinking, that's not a big deal, especially since we know the end of the story, but in that time in my life, that was a big deal. It honestly felt like a mountain to me. And I wondered how we're going to get past this. How are we going to move forward? And here's what ends up happening in our life. We have things that press against us, and it doesn't go like we wanted.
Right.
And things start breaking down in our life. And what happens with these issues is they become problems to us.
Right.
And these problems, sometimes in our life, what we do is we magnify them.
That's right.
What I mean is we make these problems big.
That's right.
Now, I'm not here to say that the problems that we're having are small, but what I'm saying is we magnify the problem so that they become so big that God can't even do anything about it.
Amen.
We magnify the problem and we minimize God.
Amen.
So then we have anxiety. We worry. This is where worry comes from. If you have trouble sleeping at night because of worry, it's because you've magnified the problem and you've minimized God.
Amen.
And so we allow problems to stir us and to bring us to the place where we can't rest and we're full of worry and we're full of anxiety. And we can't get past it, and so it's just with us all the time. And we're restless and we're tired and we're trying to figure out ways to handle these issues and deal with this problem. And so we're putting strategies together, and sometimes we feel good about our strategy and then other times we don't, but it's always just sort of there. Why? Because we can't let go of it. We're holding on to this worry. We're holding on to these anxieties. We're making these problems so big that they're running our life. We've magnified them so that it's all we think about.
Man, right.
Just problems. This problem or a variety of problems.
Sure.
I read a story about in Africa how they would capture monkeys. Very interesting. I wonder if it would work with my kids. Now I'm interested to know about it. But what they would do is they would take a coconut and they would split it in half, saw it right in half. And then they would hollow the coconut out and they would put a fresh ripe orange inside the coconut. And then they would secure the coconut back together and drill a hole small enough just so the hand of a monkey could fit into that hole. They would then dangle that coconut by a string on a tree, and then they would just wait. Because what would happen is the monkey would smell the orange and he would go over and he would be interested about what's on the inside of this coconut. He would reach into the hole and grab that coconut, but he couldn't get the orange out of the hole. So all the trappers had to do is just walk up to the monkey and put a little net on it and take it. And you know why? Because the monkey just couldn't let go of the orange.
Right.
He wouldn't let go of it. And he was trapped. Taken captive. Because he couldn't let it go. That's us.
Right.
Amen.
So we have problems, but we magnify the problems.
Right.
We make them so big that they become giants in our life. We try to put strategies together, but in reality, all it does is it creates anxiety and worry,
right.
And we become restless, when really what we need to do is let go of it. Turn it over to God. Why is that? Because there's no problem. There is no problem that is bigger than God.
Amen.
You have no problem that is bigger than God. There was a little boy in his Sunday school class, And his teacher had been teaching about what God can do. What God can do. It's just a little boy, 5 years old. The teacher's teaching God can do this and God can do that. And he finally, after a series of lessons on what God can do, he comes to this five-year-old boy, student in his class, and he says to this boy, he has an apple, and he says, "I will give you this apple if you can tell me something God can do." And the little boy said, "I'll give you a bundle of apples if you can tell me something God can't do." Is there anything God can't do? As he's working in your life? We get all bent, and our hearts struggle, and worry just controls us. And that problem, it dominates our life.
Right.
Why? Because it's big. It's big. And we magnify it, and it runs us.
Right.
So I remember also the day when Melissa came back to school, and I hadn't seen her for a couple of years. And we passed each other on the sidewalk. She was walking to the gym, and I was walking to my class, and I hadn't seen her in a couple of years. And you can bet I was excited. I saw her face. I did a double take. "Hey, what are you doing?" You know? And so I turned around, and I remember I was sort of walking backwards, and the sidewalk in front of the gym where we went to school used to be all broken up, and I remember I tripped on the sidewalk there, and I remember that I stumbled, and I remembered we visited just for a minute. She went into her class, and I remember thinking about her all the way up to my class and looking out the window, and I remembered looking at where I had just stumbled from the window, because I could see right in front of the gym from where I was standing, looking out the window on the third floor of that building, and I remembered thinking this: "I'm going to marry her. I'm going to marry her." And you know, what I was so struggled with and worried about, and I magnified, and God had a plan all along. You know, wouldn't it be good if we could just trust God with this confidence? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Did you do what God wants you to do? Then God's going to take care of it. He's going to get you through it. We prayed about just a little bit ago. We prayed about patience. We need patience. God will always be bigger than your biggest problem. We just need to be patient to let him work. I'm going to ask you a couple of questions and then we're going to be done. The question for us is not what makes sense. That's not the question. Hey, what makes sense? You're asking the wrong question. What does God want? That's the question. Well, there's giants in the land. We can't. No. Not what makes sense. Here's another one. It's not can we handle. What can we handle? That's not the question. Hey, I'm going to be limited on what I can handle. You're asking the wrong question. What does God want? That's the right question. How about this? It's not, the question isn't, how do I feel about this? That's not the question. It's what does God want? Are you doing what he wants? Then you can have confidence like Caleb did. I'm doing what God wants me to do. God has made a promise. I'm in obedience to him. He's going to take care of this problem. He's going to get us into the land. He's going to move the mountain. Whatever it is that's in the way, God's got it. He's going to take care of it. Amen. We just need to move forward with him. Let me encourage you to remember this. Everything is bigger than us. But nothing is bigger than God. God will always be bigger than your biggest problem. So if you're stirred and you can't rest and you're overwhelmed with worry and you're fretting, let's get back to our knees and ask this question: God, what do you want? Am I doing what you want? And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you this worry. I'm going to let you handle this. And we're going to move forward with confidence because I know that we're doing what you want us to do. That's enough, isn't it?
That's right.
Let me encourage you with that tonight. Father, we thank you for the thought tonight of how we can be sometimes overwhelmed and we can be worried, stressed. We can allow these problems that we have to become magnified so that we wonder if your promise is still available, or we wonder if you're still able to work, whether it be in relationships or in our own heart. Lord, would you help us to embrace this great truth as we saw demonstrated in Caleb, that you are able and there is no problem that is bigger than you. Would you give us that confidence tonight? And perhaps some who are wondering and worried and fretting and having trouble with patience, having trouble seeing, God, would you help them to see tonight? Would you give us the faith of Caleb? Would you help us to be removed from the lack of faith and belief of the spies who saw the problem is too big? Would you take us away from that? Give us wisdom tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to get right with you in whatever area we need. And we'll give you glory for what you do and how you've already spoken to us. We give you glory in that. It's in Jesus' name we pray.